Hey, it's Tom Whalen. You are listening to the Master of One podcast. You can find me at strongstuff.net.
Welcome to another episode of the Master of One podcast, the podcast that's been kicking it to you fresh for the last 4 years. In this special episode, we talk about the past, the present, and the future of the podcast. Live with special guest moderator, host of the Adventures in Design podcast, Mark Bricky. I'm Andrew, your Master of Art and Design.
I'm Patrick, your Master of Television and Film.
And I'm Luke, your Master of Toys and Games.
So get ready for an extended, in-depth conversation, because it's time to get things started.
Good day and good design.
Good morning and good design. Welcome to a very special Masters of One podcast. I'm your host today, Mark Bricky from Adventures in Design. On the show today, I have the Master of Film.
Wait, is this going?
I have the Master of Gaming.
Hey.
And I have the Master of your design, toys, collectibility?
Design is good. We'll stay there. Yeah.
That world. It's a very special Masters of One, where today on the show, I, Mark Bricky, have taken over Masters of One. We have a very unique relationship here in that we all are podcasters. Podcasters that don't just do it as a hobby or a way to promote a business, like as a full-on, like you're in a band. It's something that you love. You're working toward a goal. And the world of podcasting is weird right now because there's so many people that are dipping into it for various reasons. It's a little bit hard to kind of figure out the path when you want to do it as a job, as a career, as something that you make part of your identity, not a compliment to. So I think that all of us share that bond of being in it, trying to figure out where do I go from here. Relatively new medium. Very, very few people have figured out how to monetize it and make a living off of it.
Yeah. Very few.
I consider myself the only person. The only person that's been able to do it. But it's been really difficult. And it was hard for me to get to the moment where I could turn this into a career. It damn near, I won't say that it killed me, but it damn near killed my soul.
Sure.
You know, and crushed me. And so it's been fun being friends with you guys and seeing Masters of One grow and see you guys sort of grow as creators and just figure out where do I go? How do I get to there? And just a little bit of context for the listeners at home, you can sell anything that you want through Apple's app systems.
Yes.
Anything you want. And in fact, you may not know this, but when you buy your phone is built with almost no profit in it. The phone is just a device to get Apple $18 per customer per month to infinity. Do those numbers at home.
Sure.
Now hang yourself. And it's also designed to get you to purchase from them. They make 30% off of everything that they sell, except for podcasts, because we are not allowed to be sold through the phone.
Yep.
Which sends everybody down this wild road of monetization. Mm-hmm. Now, you sitting at home, well, what do they need to get paid for? They're hanging out and having fun. It's an insane amount of work. What you may not know is home. For every minute you hear the boys talking, there is probably 2 to 3 minutes spent of meetings, production, writing notes. You know, there's an equation there. 1 minute you spend listening, they spend 5 minutes creating, which eats up a lot of your schedule, eats up a lot of your time, which brings us to this episode 325 of Masters of One podcast.
That's it.
Congratulations, guys.
Thanks.
We did it.
You did something.
We did something.
Yeah. We got here.
It feels like the rest of them. Today doesn't feel any more monumentous than 324, if I think about it. Or
you know what, though, to be fair, we are sitting in a much cooler hotel right now.
That's true.
And way to make a gal feel special. Eh, this one doesn't feel that big of a deal. Nothing neat happening today.
Wait, Mark, what did you say? This is off topic. What did you say about naked phones?
I don't believe in putting a case on my phone.
Yeah, okay, so I saw you like an hour ago.
Now look.
What is that?
I completely shattered my phone screen in the last hour.
In the
hour.
Last hour.
It slid out of my lap into the floor. There's like a chunk. You can see like a metal inside the phone now. Like there's a chunk. It's gone now.
Like every woman on reality TV.
Right.
Like I watched the Teen Mom show religiously. Mm-hmm. Every woman on there, when she picks up her phone, it's like spider web. Oh, he's texting me. How can you tell, Spider-Woman? How can you see through your web of lies and deceit?
This feels, I feel like this is a gift from you, though. Because I didn't think about it until you mentioned how squirrely it is to have people handling a phone with no case. So this will always remind me of you.
Until he updates his phone.
A month from now.
In an afternoon. Yeah. I always think, though, with the iPhone, you know, I watch that video and it's like, it's the most complicated phone yet simplest we've ever designed.
You are channeling your inner Johnny Ive right now.
We've removed all the buttons and mystery and intrigue with a new A64 chip, the most powerful chip yet for the Apple iPhone. I'm like, why would you put an otter case on that? It's beautiful. It's sexy. Like, I want to go have love relationships. I'm trying to censor myself for you guys. I want to go make love to this device, and I'm going to put an otter. You know, we made it in a factory with rubber that we use tires. On, you know, it's like, why would you do that, Patrick? By the way, you are the master of derailing the conversation.
Thank you.
So here's where we're at. Me and the boys are hanging out in Portland, Oregon, in real time. Mm-hmm. I don't know when you're going to hear this at home, but we were having a conversation like we love to do when the four of us are together in a real space, whether it's Disneyland, Alabama, or Oregon. We love to sit around and talk shop. And you guys, congratulations. You're my podcast friends.
Yay.
We did it.
I don't know how I ended up in this crowd.
If we've accomplished nothing else, that's what we can take away from 325.
But you are my only pals that do this with the same intensity that I do. And I have often questioned your intensity because I know that you guys aren't fully monetized. Mm-hmm. I know that you really love it and you really appreciate your audience, and I respect the hell out of that. But I also know that it's a lot of work. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And monetarily speaking, you guys are getting a little return on that, which to me says that your passion, your love, and your ambition is the driving force of Masters of One.
Sure.
But it leads me to this question. How long can you sustain? How long can you keep this going?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think the answer is that we're finding out what those breaking points are right now. So, I mean, I guess to this, why this episode is special and why this is different, why you're facilitating this conversation is because we are deciding to take a break from Master of One for a period of time to reassess and say, how do we keep this fun for us? Because it has to be fun, because we're not making money on it, and it's a lot of work, so we need to have fun doing it, and right now, because of the grind of 4 years, right?
Four plus now, yeah.
The grind of 4 years, it's not necessarily fun anymore. It's fun talking to people. We'll always have fun talking to people, talking to you, talking to any guest that we have. We love that. That's stuff that energizes us. Like, we're doing hot seats at Pop-Up Crop this weekend, and those are awesome. Just talking to people, giving them 15 minutes and a platform, saying, who are you, what do you do? That's energizing to me. But the day out of podcasting and doing the editing and the work and the behind-the-scenes stuff that you mentioned is just, it's old.
Well, you're right about the money part of it. I mean, we make enough money that we can cover hosting expenses for, like, the website, the podcast. Right.
Losing money.
Right.
We're not losing money on monthly expenses. I personally am in the whole $7,500 to the podcast because of gear expenses and things like that. I mean, you know, buying mics and interfaces and camera equipment and all this kind of stuff is not cheap. It's one of those things that we want to do it, and we want to do it very well. I mean, we all in our, like, individual jobs are perfectionist might not be the right word, but we want to do a good job. We want it to be exceptional. And so that's been our approach. Like, it's kind of out of the gate. We want to do as much as we can, and we want to do it to the nth degree, and we want it to be, you know, professional and all these kind of things. And so that's all stuff that we've been footing the bill for. And that's financially. And then also the excitement for it, and the, you know, I fully believe you have to treat it like a big deal before other people will treat it like a big deal. And so we're, like, footing the bill with that type of, like, emotion and energy and attitude. And then there's just a certain point where, okay, it's been 4.5 years, and, you know, this piece feels stagnant, and this piece feels stagnant, and we're still not, you know, we're pulling more money than we were, in that our monthly costs are covered, and we get to go on cool trips like this and not pay out of pocket. but we're still not paying back this debt we've already accrued. And now we're also losing that kind of momentum of excitement and energy or whatever. There's just a point where that does break down.
Well, they're all tethered together.
Yeah.
And I don't doubt for a second when you guys hit record, that part's always fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the carrot on the end of the stick that keeps you coming back.
Sure.
But that's why I started out this recording, breaking it down to the person at home. There's a conversion there. 1 minute of recording, 5 minutes of production, probably. And so, therefore, think about it. You know, would you really be excited about doing your thing in life if only 20% of it was fun?
Right.
And the other 80% of it seemed like a burden, and you were seeing less return financially. So I understand that. I understand it more than anybody. And, you know, when I made the pivot to do the Circle of Trust, it was the biggest gamble ever, because I literally told my audience, if this thing doesn't monetize, if it can't support itself, it goes away. Mm. And I would have had to have let it go away, because it was literally killing me trying to be full-time designer, full-time poster maker, full-time printer, going out and doing craft shows and selling stuff for my brand, but then also being a podcast guy. Like, you guys have lived double lives mm-hmm. for years now. And it's confusing, it's taxing, it's tiring, you lose your identity. And when you're like, God, Tuesday night, I got to go record. You don't want it to feel that way,
right.
But it can. And it feels that way all the way up until you hit record, and you maybe get 5 minutes in, you go like, oh, right, this is why I do all of this.
Yeah.
But that's, you want to be excited on Sunday that you got recording coming on Tuesday. You don't want it to feel like a dreaded band practice.
Right.
Yeah, and you know, in the few minutes of us chatting last night and today, you've gotten a little bit, you've seen a little bit of the behind the scenes stuff that's been going on. And every time that I would, in some cases, you would, before I would even say, hey, this is kind of what has led to these thoughts, you would present, you guys are doing this, and I would imagine that would make you feel this way. And I'm like, yep. Oh, and then you guys are doing this, and I would imagine it would make you feel this way. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And so, you get it. I mean, beyond, we didn't have to explain any of this to you. This is just, we, in a weird way, we're affirming all of the things that you were saying, that we were already thinking and feeling and everything, which for me is confirmation that, okay, maybe we're not crazy for being in this position.
Oh, I think that you guys are crazy for how hard you have worked, you know, and gotten to here. I mean, here's the thing. I understand what your calculated risk was.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go balls in. Let's work harder than anybody. Let's show the world what we're capable of and earn that. But the analogy that I made earlier when we were talking is, I really try to look at life, you know, this is something I think about a lot, is the world of boxing. You know, like, since the beginning of time, man has enjoyed fighting one another.
Right.
And when you look at boxing, you just can't come out and throw haymakers. I mean, you can, and maybe one of those will land and you'll knock the person out, but that's the overnight success, which is really, statistically, it's winning the lottery.
Sure.
So the way that you win a fight is you pace yourself. You outlast your opponent so that when life gives you the big opportunity, you still have the stamina, you still have the strength to throw that punch that connects and knocks out the opponent. What you guys have done is you have worn yourself out. You've come out round after round, swinging, fighting, throwing punches, and you're starting to feel that. And we're deep into this match, and you're starting to feel that. So I would think that what would make sense is to lower the amount of production, right? Like, 4 episodes a week?
Two episodes a week.
Yeah. And that is including
hot
seats?
4 episodes a week when we're doing hot seats.
Yeah.
Okay, so 2 to 4 episodes a week, 100+ a year, and we're not charging the listener per listen.
Right.
Right.
That's an insane business model.
Right.
Absolutely insane. And I think the biggest thing is that you're not giving your customer or your listener, you're not giving them an opportunity to actually miss you. Hmm. So when you put that many things on top of a pile, it's like, let me sift through and see what I want to listen to, instead of seeing Masters of One pop up in my feed and be like, this is crucial. I've got to listen to this.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing, and it's not even from a business model. There's the perspective where that doesn't make sense, right? But then on a personal level, my wife reminded me that we've been doing this for over 4 years and we've never taken a break. I've missed couple of episodes. Patrick has missed a couple of episodes. Luke has missed a couple of episodes. But week in and week out, we're always producing content. And we end up shifting our whole life schedules around, especially if something doesn't go according to schedule, then everything gets disrupted in our weekly, and with our weekly stuff. And so we wouldn't do that at work, right? I wouldn't go to work. I wouldn't work for 4 years and never take a vacation. I look forward to vacations. I look forward to getting away and doing things. And it took Chandra reminding me, like, you're tired because you've not taken a break from it.
You guys have just been fighting too hard for too long, and it takes a toll on you. And I mean, let's break it down. My podcast is monetized. A large portion of the audience pays a monthly subscription or an annual subscription. I take a lot of breaks.
Sure.
I take more breaks than anybody you know. And that's borrowed from the show business model. Yeah. You know, Jimmy Kimmel is on TV every night at 11:35.
Right.
What a stupid time slot. However, he's not literally recording a show every day at 6 o'clock to get up by 11:35.
Right.
Like you can't do that, especially in the world of entertainment. You need to take a break. The audience needs a break. You need time to gain perspective. If you're always grinding, you're always chasing your tail. If you're always chasing your tail, you don't have that moment to reflect on who you are, where you're going, what's your why.
But there's ego in it too, because it's the thing you pat your back, like yourself on the back for.
This is your identity.
Yeah.
You are Patrick from Masters of One.
But it's like the, you know, we haven't ever taken a break. How good are we? You know, like I'm just saying it's the thing that can be necessary, but it's also kind of at some moments it feels like the only thing you can be proud of.
Yeah.
I understand that. I mean, here's something that I'm experienced enough to know. It's episode 325 that we're having this reflection announcing to the audience. We're going to take a break. We're going to recalculate. This has been something you guys have probably been thinking about for the last 25 episodes.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Easily.
And a big part of making this announcement is, what are people going to think of us?
Sure.
What are people going to think? Are they going to give up? Are they not going to believe in the brand anymore?
Right.
Which I'm here to tell you, as the outsider, people will respect you more for this break. This episode will go down as one of the episodes where people feel like, I really understand these guys. Mm. I really appreciate what they've done, and I'll appreciate it even more when it comes back, because we're framing together the grind. And it's quite beautiful in a way, because everyone that you've ever interviewed has had to suffer through this.
Sure.
To get good at what they're good at.
Yeah.
There's an amount of pain and personal failure that you have to go through to do anything that's worthy of an interview. Unless you're a hot seat, then you just have to have a pulse.
Right. It's fair.
Well, it's 15 fair. Minutes.
Come here. You've got 15 minutes. Are you? He's breathing, right? Put him in a chair. Turn the temperature up. Hot seat.
Tell us how you really feel about that business model.
Hot seat. But no, seriously, like, it's hard to admit defeat.
Sure.
It's hard to take pause unless you build pause into your business model. It's like AID's live this week. I'm live next week. The week going into Labor Day, no way nice. would I create content for that week. Creating content for the week leading into Labor Day is like putting money out on your windowsill and hoping it doesn't blow away, or in my neighborhood, get taken either by raccoons or human raccoons. But like, it's literally, why would you go through that grind? It's the last solid week of summer. Yeah. Nobody cares about their life. They don't care about podcasts. They don't care about design. They care about squeezing out that last little bit about summer.
Yeah.
Give yourself a break. You don't need to be there. The weeks around Christmas, I'm done every year. Somewhere, I always take 2 weeks off. I look at when the first day after New Year's is, that first work day back, and I count back 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks. Nobody needs me that time of the year.
Yeah.
You know, nobody needs you the week after or the week leading up to Thanksgiving. Like, there's moments when culture and community shifts. And if you follow the TV rules, you can see the patterns of, we're not going to put new content up that week because we can't give our advertisers back what they're paying us for.
Right. Sure. So the component then that sticks out to me is, two of us are now in the same location, right? Patrick and I both live in San Antonio now. Prior to that, we were all in different states. And the podcast, after we started it and we're together, and after a year of doing it where we were all together, we were then all of a sudden not together anymore, and it became the way for us to stay connected. And so for me, and not even just me, but I know we've had this conversation, one of the fears in that, in taking a break other than just what will people think and how will this go and will we be able to build momentum back coming out of a break, is also what happens to our friendship with that.
Well, your friendship, this is where I'm going to be bold and act like I don't care about you. Your friendship is the podcast. If the podcast goes away, your friendship will go away. We're adults.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll still be friends.
Yeah.
But the connectivity is the project.
Sure.
You guys are coworkers, and that is your bond. The moment that the podcast goes away, you guys go away from each other. I mean, you'll still talk.
Sure.
But how many other adult men are you still talking to on a week-in, week-out basis? No one.
Right.
So work is a way to keep us together.
Sure.
So if you worry about, oh, I don't want the podcast to affect our friendship, it's already affected. And it's already tethered into this.
Sure.
And if you guys say, you know, I don't want to do this anymore, you guys will go to like Instagram, Facebook friends, random phone call friends. Like,
yeah,
we're men. We don't talk to each other unless we need something from each other.
Right. Yeah,
that's true.
You know, on a regular basis. And then when you do, it'll be fun and it'll be a reminiscent. But this is the friendship. This is the bond. And the break isn't going to break you. It's going to make you better. You know what I see after a week off? I see an influx of downloads. I see an influx of my community talking. And I pace my schedule on a week back, I hit it strong. By the end of that 3 week or 4 week live cycle, I go a little bit easy on that last week because I know that's just only the hardcore. You know, after 20 episodes in a row, you know, being there Monday through Friday, Monday through Thursday, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, people start to fall off because life gets busy. They can't keep up with all of it.
Right.
My business model is this. Make a show every day for the guy that needs it every day.
Mm-hmm.
By covering him, you've covered the person that only needs to listen twice a month.
Sure.
Therefore, all your people are covered.
Yeah.
So for you guys, I would feel like when you come back, look at it as a TV thing. As entertainment. Look at it as all of the media that you've studied, you know? What would happen if there was a Marvel movie every Friday?
Nobody cared about Marvel movies.
Like,
I'd still go watch it.
But would you go there, like, Thursday night, early preview? Or you'd be like, I'm going to next Friday, I'll go see this one and then go, I'll double up next week because life's busy.
I mean, there were three Star Wars films, and like the hype has already died so much.
I was just getting ready to say, like, look at our love affair of Star Wars.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not as strong of a brand as we thought.
But if they were good, they'd probably be a little different.
Well, that's another conversation.
Okay. Can you guys make a good podcast doing 100 something a year?
That's the key, is at one point when you hit burnout, we're not making as compelling content as if we were, you know, truly fulfilled doing this, I guess, quote unquote.
Can you give your audience more by doing less?
Right.
And the answer is 100%. There's more of you to give. There's more of you to give. And I believe you can raise the needle in the way that you need it to get where you want to go, because supply and demand. If you're only around less, and then you offer up a paid only episode, there's actually now like, well, they're only on. Damn.
You don't have to edit this, so it's fine. You
23
can just...
minutes. I wanted to prove to myself I could do it.
You know what? That's a strong record.
Yeah, I mean, that. I'm impressed.
Hey, when I recorded with Mike Jones, he cursed before me, and I called him out on it. Like, told you I could out-Christian you. But here's the thing. You guys have given so much away, where is there room for monetization?
Sure.
There's not.
Sure.
And this is a weird thing to admit recorded, but this is what I have learned to be the gospel. People don't respond to the honor system. Mm. They will for a little bit, but then they start to evaluate, why am I putting money into this when I don't have to pay for it?
Oh, yeah.
I tried the honor system. I tried early uploads, early access. I tried everything. And just the hard fact is, and granted, I tried everything the nice guy way first. But what I know people respond to is people respond to being punished. Mm. And if they feel like they're missing out, if they feel like they can't get something, that is when they pull their credit card out. And I didn't want to do that. I didn't know how to do that. But I found that you have got to find a way to make people feel FOMO, mm-hmm. for them to do credit cardo. And I think that you guys have given so much of you to your audience. Where's there room to turn the money switch on here?
Sure. Well, so we've experimented, or we've experimented is not the right word. We've had Patreon for, what, a year now, maybe?
Probably.
And that's been, I mean, that's where Patrick mentioned, you know, we're not paying for hosting, where all of our monthly expenses are taken care of because of Patreon, but that's hit, that seemingly hit a wall.
Well, there were rose-colored glasses there, too, because right. there was the idea that, well, you make good enough content and people will just naturally respect it and they'll just, you know,
ask. It's the honor system.
Yeah, exactly. And that they'll want to contribute to whatever, but it doesn't last. And those people fall. We've had some in the people that do contribute, obviously, thank you. And then we've had some great past contributors and all that kind of stuff. But there is a again, when we're sitting here, like, you know, it's awesome that we're pulling in $80 a month, but we've put in $7,500 a month we've put in $7,500, right? But then monthly we're putting in, it's like having every one of us adding a part-time job.
Sure.
So if you think about the hour cost of what you're actually expending every month, I mean, it's a huge cost. And so, frankly, whatever we get in through Patreon is just a drop in the bucket.
Right.
And it doesn't work. I mean, we have a couple of people that have been long-term, but the reality is most people are, they come in, say, for a couple months, and they're gone, and sure. that's what it is.
And, you know, I've seen that with my own business model of people come and go. People go through a cycle where they feel real lonely, and they need, like, designer friends to hang out with them, and then they hit an influx of, like, well, I've changed jobs, or I don't have the same money,
sure.
or I feel like right. I've heard this story before, you know, like, and it hurts when you see a long-term listener who just stops commenting and goes away.
Well, yeah. But you want something more, too. I mean, the fact that you give to that, like you give to, like, through Patreon or something, then there's this expectation of, okay, now I get something else on top of that. And that is an expectation that we framed early, and then we've removed. If you go through and look through it now, it doesn't say that. But I think there's this expectation.
You're talking about Patreon specifically.
Yeah, but the point is giving. Like, it's also hard to rationalize. Yeah, I mean, it's a free thing. So therefore, if I give to the free thing, now I should get something else. But we're, like, capped.
That's what I'm saying. The supply and demand here. You, like, you guys have given out so much. Where is there a paywall in here?
Sure.
And things like Patreon, we're in a weird thing where there's ways to monetize once you've become a big deal, right? If you've got Patreon works if you have millions of followers.
Right.
And you can convert 10,000 of your million.
Right.
That's the way it works. But to break this down to the person at home, a minimum, to turn Masters of One into a full-time gig and to turn it into a career, we need $150,000 gross.
Sure, yeah.
50 grand a guy. Yeah. I mean, where you guys live, lifestyle,
right.
I mean, 50 grand, because then you're going to take taxes out of that and all that. Like, we need $150,000. You're not going to get that from Patreon,
right.
And you're not going to get that by giving out a majority of the content for free.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, now that we have the money discussion kind of on the table to create a baseline for everybody, we are far away from the amount that we need to
yes.
make this a
right.
full-time rig. That means money is now off the table.
Mm.
We need to enjoy this.
Sure.
How do we get back to making Masters of One great again?
Right. Oh, man.
We did it.
You can, by the way, buy that hat at aidnetwork.hat.gov.
Yeah, .gov. It's a sweet site. But here's the thing. I would like to know right now. We're removing money. So, like, literally, Luke, what do you want to get out of this? What's your why with Masters of One?
Yeah, I mean, so the why for me initially when we started was just having fun talking to my friends about the stuff we talked about every day, which was toys and games, TV and film, art and design. We just sat around and talked about it. It morphed into talking to other creatives and hearing their stories. And if I could in any way use what we've created to give them a little bit of a platform, that was a win for me. And so that's my main focus with Master of One is what can I do for the guy that's not Huck G that wants to be Huck G? Can I help him get from step one to step two just by giving him an outlet? Like, that's my goal.
Andrew?
Yeah, I think it's morphed for sure. But where it's at now, it's an influence thing. Like, one of my personal vocational values that I've kind of identified for myself is I value influence over power. I don't necessarily need to be the guy who makes all the decisions and has all that, but I need to know that I have a level of influence and that my voice is heard. Doesn't mean that I'm always right. Doesn't mean that I always get, you know, that whatever I say gets implemented, but I need to know that I'm in a position where I'm heard. So that's a personal vocational value for me. So then coming into this, So as I'm an artist, right? I grew up as an artist. My identity was found in being the kid who could draw and being the kid who could sell art and things like that. Transition into adulthood, and I realized that that's just not my reality. I'm not going to be a professional artist. And so I took that passion and that desire, and it kind of transitioned into this idea of influence. If I could be an influencer in this world, in this scope of design and art and all this stuff, if I could be an influencer in that, then I could still channel that same satisfaction. Mm-hmm. And so for me, the more opportunities I have to either speak or the more the opportunities I have to meet or connect with other people who I admire, am either envious of or in awe of or whatever you want to call it, and be able to have a platform where they can hear my voice and we can exchange. That for me is why I continue to do it.
Patrick?
I hope that I can afford a new iPhone. That's probably my number one thing. The screen is busted.
Don't you have like the replacement on that? I mean, what are you? Plan Jones? What is that, a cricket phone?
Bottom Plan Jones.
I probably do. I don't know. I'll check
Bottom
after
Plan
this.
Jones.
From now on, that's your name.
You know, it has morphed over time. I mean, initially, I just enjoyed doing it because we stay in touch with each other. For me, ultimately, I want it to be my living. I mean, I want to make a living off of this. That's what I want to do. Now, I want to do that not through, like, clickbaity stuff or whatever. I want to do that through supporting other people, helping people make connections, like people collaborating together, people, you know, figuring out how to take the next step. I mean, those type of stories, because we have several of those stories where through the community, this like really cool thing happened, or this person got this opportunity, or you know, these two people connected that had never met, and those things are awesome. So I don't want to lose that stuff. That stuff for me is a focus. I really do not care about people hearing my voice at all. I would just as well. The podcast is like the act of podcasting, the act of like recording audio is probably the least important thing to me. But if there's a way to connect people to make compelling content that helps people and then make a living off of that, then that's what I want to be doing.
Sure.
So it sounds to me that obviously you guys have, you know, you started out because you wanted to do it because it sounded fun. And then you saw that you were building a community. Mm-hmm. You got those messages of I met this guy or this episode helped me out this way, which are completely addictive.
Right.
And now, like everybody, the project has become a part of ego. An ego in the healthy sense. Mm-hmm. Not that you guys are out here balling like Post Malone, but the ego of...
I don't even know who that is, so that's how not balling I am.
Oh, jeez.
I think balling is his first name.
But what you guys have found is like an ego and identity through the project. And I love that Patrick's answer is like, it's not necessarily people hearing my voice. It's being an orchestrator of ideas and of situations. So, you know, the production part of Adventures in Design is one of my favorite parts of looking at a month and going, how can I lay out the best October? What's the best creep week I can give these creeps? And how can I really, you know, it's Halloween, it's fall, it's a magical time of the year. Like, how can I line all of those up? And if I can get this guy here, and if I can lean on this guy there and do this and do that, like, how does it all come together? Like, that's a part of the brain that I enjoy.
Sure.
So I think that with all of your answers of what you're doing, the one thing I didn't hear in here is I want to be there daily. I want to be there all the time. Like, each of you can get this and probably enjoy what you want more by going to a twice a month cycle, you know, or doing different things with the platform that you've created. You know, like, I realized that if I kept having the same conversation, I was going to take this cord, I was going to wrap it around my neck, and I was going to jump out of my window, which would be dumb because I live on the first floor. Right. So then I'd just be laying in the dirt with a
the cord around your neck.
Yeah, with the raccoons eating grapes on my back. I'm like, what's this jerk off doing? But I think that there is a play here for you guys to figure out a healthier schedule.
Right.
And one of the things that I figured out was AID network, right? What if Adventures in Design morphed into a network of ideas, of concepts? And I have four shows now that are really based around design that I'm enjoying more than ever. Lincoln Design's Brand Practice, fun. DKNG show, a great reality show with two of best in the business. The Logo Show, where we just look at logos and critique them and break them apart without the artist in the room. Really, really fun way to talk crap. And then the Poster Countdown, celebrating not only what great is happening, but also saying, this poster is really good, but where does it go wrong? It's a really good way to compliment and then critique. And the whole, with the Poster Countdown, now that we do the side stories, you know, we industry side stories, why is this not working? Or why is this a healthy trend or a bad trend? I enjoy those four shows so much more because of Comment Below, where we look at pop culture, Hammer Time, where we just get to hang out and be scumbags, the interviews that I do that necessarily don't have to be tethered to design.
Right.
Coming up, you know, in the month of September, the president of ABC's programming, a guy who was one of the first people to ever be an agent for extreme sport athletes that came from the world of heavy metal, like really unique, interesting, different paths to get to where you want to go. I just took it all and broke it apart into little clusters of my personality. There's no reason why you guys can't do a similar thing.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's been the conversation, is what needs to change for Master of One to still work, for us to get what we just said is the fulfillment out of it, but also to feel not stagnant. Because that's the other thing. Right. I mean, we had a big conversation 3 weeks ago or so. Of just, I was like, guys, I am struggling. This is the same in day in, day out, and I am bored.
I think it was questionable. I think for me, it was questionable if Luke would even be on this trip, to be honest.
Sure.
I don't know if it's questionable for you.
It wasn't, but that's fine. I understand why you say that.
I'm not giving up the good part. I might not be there Tuesday on Skype.
I built this. I'm coming on the trip.
Yeah, oh, but it was it was a tough conversation.
It wasn't fun, and it was necessary, but I think it's important to note, too, for our listeners, that this episode is not to announce anything.
Yeah.
Other than, we don't know.
Will be a break.
This is still free form. This is still, we're not like we building up to the end to say, so because of that,
yeah, you we can don't expect have an end game this, this, right and this. Now.
We don't know
yet. There is an announcement on the show, but we'll get there. But okay. I think that the break is...
I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah, I'm riveted.
I think that the break is this, though. I think that if you guys were to say, we're taking a break and then we're doing this, that would be the dumbest thing you could do. You need to go on the break to figure out what's next.
Yeah.
All of my best ideas have always come to me on vacation. And that's why I take 10 of them a year. But it's like so fun to just get away.
Yep.
Take all the pieces of your life and put them on a shelf. And just think about, what am I really doing here? You know, and I can't do that when I'm in 405 traffic racing to get to an interview, being like, it takes 10 minutes to get through Disney security, and I got to go here, and I got to go there, and I got to get to the 11th floor, and she's a really busy power exec. Like, how do I fit into her life? Like, I can't do that unless I'm sitting in Palm Springs staring at a mountain being like, why can't I ever see a ram walk by? Like, there's a whole big mountain. Like, I can see endless nature. Why is there not one damn animal cruising on the side of that mountain? Where is the ram at?
On the other side.
These are the Mark Bricky problems.
But it's after I get bored looking for the ram.
Just go to the zoo, bro.
Yeah. No, never. But after I look at the, get tired of looking.
Can we explore that later?
I am anti-zoo.
Okay.
You got bit.
No, I just, it's too depressing. Like, sure. I don't go look at inmates.
Right.
And go, aw, he could have been somebody.
That's a fair assessment. All right.
But after I don't see the ram, I start to think about, how am I doing this? What can I do? And that only comes from the evaluation of getting to a moment of mental boredom and then being in a moment of putting things together. Like, I recently went to a retreat in the Santa Cruz area, and I was on a retreat with, like, executives from Google, you know, people that are just bringing down, like, serious money and really changing the world. You know, I can't say what the guy did, but it was like, wow.
He got paid a lot for it.
He got paid a lot for it, and what he's doing actually makes a huge difference on making the world feel small and tethering together different countries and different nationalities and different languages. But the MVP of my retreat weekend was I met this amazing 80-year-old woman who was a first generation of female entrepreneur. Like, she left her husband, wanted a better life, and just started to build this. And she built it with stealing her grandmother's recipe on making fudge. And after she became, like, the fudge queen of Nevada, she's like, this is bullshit. And then she transitioned to other things. And she bought real estate. And, you know, whatever I could throw at this woman, she could give me something back beautiful. I didn't know that I was going to end up hanging out with an 80-year-old woman being like, you're my hero. Like, when I hugged her and said goodbye to her, I didn't know if I'd ever see her again.
Sure.
But the influence from spending time with this woman and just, like, she's 40 years down the road from me. Mm-hmm. And getting her vision of what it felt like at, because I'm like, I'm at your halfway point.
Right.
What don't I know?
Yeah.
Right.
And for her to give that to me and also to be like, how scared are you at 80 of dying? How much do you think about that? Mm-hmm. You know, what does it look like? Like, that's only something that I get from taking a weekend and leaving all of this.
Sure.
And also that my wife's an influencer and I got to do it for free. But I feel like you guys haven't given yourself those moments.
Sure.
So yeah. I would say take the break. They're going to be back. You've worked too hard to give up.
That's right.
Giving up's not even a possibility.
Right. Right. No.
But literally, like, take the break. Don't promise when you're going to come back. But just know everybody listening is going to be there.
Right.
And I would urge everybody listening, like, tell these guys right now, stop what you're doing. Go over to whatever platform you communicate with the boys and just say, I appreciate what you've done. And I'll be there when you get back. Like, give them permission to go away, but know that you're going to show up. And in fact, I'm going to tell you this right now. The first episode back, Spike. People want to hear what you've figured out. People, you're for the first time, you know, you haven't given your audience, you haven't given them intrigue. Mm. And everybody right now is like, what's it going to be like when they come back?
Yeah.
I mumbled that one.
Mm. I got you.
But seriously, like, it's going to be a different Masters of One
right
when you come back. And do you guys want to brainstorm what it should look like, or do you just want to enjoy that space?
I think I'm open for whatever. I mean,
I don't care.
I'm going to leave it up to Patrick. Look at his face.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, are you saying that you have ideas for what that should look like?
Or I think that this is a moment where we can talk about that. Because my advice would be this. I feel like a weekly show is too much. And I'll tell you why. A weekly show is a grind. If you guys finish recording Tuesday, then that means, let's say you put out a show, what's your best day?
Usually Thursday.
Thursday.
Yeah.
Interesting. So if Thursday's your best day, then that means we're going to record every Monday, right? Because we want that Thursday, we want to be able to talk about the movies that just came out and what's getting ready to come out. So now you're recording every Monday. You know, every Monday's podcast night. But then you know that every Tuesday is make the cover night. And you know that every Tuesday is create the files night. And then you know that Wednesday you write up all your notes and you get it posted. And then it comes out on Thursday. And then Thursday you're just blowing it up. And Friday you're blowing it up. But now all of a sudden it's Saturday. And I got to go see the movies. I got to watch the TV shows. I got to listen to the music. I got to buy the toys. Sunday I got to write my notes. And Monday I got to do it again. Mm-hmm. I don't know that there's space in there for a podcast that's not being monetized.
Sure.
But if you do monthly or every other week, there's actually room to miss it. There's room to explore content. There's, you know, room to know that we record every other Monday, record every other Tuesday. There's room to live your life and to miss each other. Mm-hmm. And there's also room for your audience to be like, I wish there was more. And if we got on a rotation of doing this every other week or once a month, now there's time for you guys to go, you know what we've never done? We've never done our guide to this. Mm. So we can work on the guide to this. You know, there's now been, how many Marvel movies are there? 20?
24.
20.
20.
20, 21, something like that?
I think there's 20, well, maybe 21 with Wasp. Yeah.
So what if we did the Masters of One complete guide to the Marvel Universe? Chapter one is movies 1 through 10, finding themselves, finding a pattern, 11 through 20, riding the wave of a success. What if, because we're only now once a month, we work on that, we get it all dialed in, it's produced, it's got sound drops in it, it's like the podcast you always dream of making, and what if we sell that? Hmm. What does that look like? Because now that I only get to hear you once or twice a month, there's actually room in my life for more. And because I appreciate you, I'm willing to drop a silly price, $4.99, $9.99, $2.99. You know, but it's the volume of selling them.
Sure.
And if even if we sold the special for $2.99, which is a stupid amount of money, and we sold 100 of them, that's more than you've made off of Patreon.
That's true.
I think just generally speaking, a big thing is how interesting can anyone's life be if you hear from them, like, every week.
My life's pretty interesting.
Well, yeah. and you're yeah, and again, you're one of the few. No, I mean, it's just like how compelling can content actually be? I mean, I love talking to people. I love talking to people about day in, day out. But there is a, yeah, I think that's a, where I get in my head about all this stuff is two pieces. One is that, if people aren't willing to support it, pay money, whatever, then how good of an idea can it actually be? So that part of me makes it feel like, well, what I'm doing just is not important at all.
Okay. Can I pause you there for a second? It is valuable because you guys, the numbers aren't going the wrong way, right?
Right.
Downloads have built year after year.
Sure.
It is valuable. You're talking like a tired guy. You're also talking like a guy who hasn't taken a break and been able to evaluate what you have. And the reason why you're not feeling the value is because you've oversupplied your demand. If you restructure it, if you leave them wanting more, you'll start to see where your value's at.
Sure. And so, and then the second piece is just, it is along the lines of, yeah, it's what you say it is like chasing the tail all the time because everything is, so last minute and getting prepared to actually then do the episode. And then by the time you ride the wave of that episode, it feels very last minute to do the next episode. And so then it's to actually take the time to take content, and the content could be good at a base level, but actually make it more compelling through the production or whatever. That's all just chasing a tail right now for sure.
And you're tired.
Oh yeah.
And how are you going to get better when you're exhausted?
True.
I mean, my doctor told me this, and I laughed at her, and she didn't think it was funny that I laughed at her. She's like, how much sleep are you getting? I'm like, I don't know, like 5-6 hours. And I thought that was a really good answer. She's
That's
like,
a good answer.
I'd like
solid.
For you. She's like, I'd like for you to get 8 or 10. And I laughed. Exactly. And she goes, out of all the things that you can do for your health, sleeping is the best thing that you can do, and it's absolutely free. Why wouldn't you give yourself that? And then I started to think about that in all terms of life. A rest, a break, it's really the best thing that you can do mentally. It makes a better product. And I feel like if the Masters of One podcast that comes out less frequently is bigger and bolder. And also, Andrew, you and I were talking about the world of YouTube and social media, you know, sort of the search bar generation that that's coming up below us. What if you just do the big, long, big thing for the guy and gal who's got, you know, endless hours of working alone, can jump in, hit pause, listen to it over 2 days. It's a 2.5 hour, 3 hour episode. It's an epic voyage. But what if all those bits were broken apart into little searchable things? That spider web then brings people into the Masters of One universe.
Yeah.
So right now, it's so last minute, you're so worn out that you're not giving yourself or the audience the ability to relax, to heal, and to react. And I feel like that would be something that would happen. Are we still friends?
Yeah.
Have we gone too far to damage the friendship?
No,
we're completely friends.
We're just tired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything anybody want to say while there's a weird guy in the room that can help you out and take your side?
Yeah, can you talk to Patrick about just his general appearance?
it's a work in progress.
We're going to go after this, and he's going to get a Mark Bricky haircut at the barbershop down the
street.
Yeah. High and tight, brother.
That's what's going to happen.
Tell him
we're going to go home, and your wife's going to be in love with you all over again.
High and tight. Patrick looks like...
This is all too real.
Patrick, his face has turned the color of his shirt, which is a salmon.
Salmon.
Salmon?
Yeah, it's a salmon.
You know what Patrick looks like? He looks like a lot of the guys that I meet in Hollywood that are producers and movers. Like, the mind is on creation. Fashion's not maybe at the top of the to-do list.
Look at that. You're a mover and shaker.
No, all he said is fashion is not at the top of the to-do list.
No, I think the biggest thing for us, and when we were kind of coming to the pinnacle of this really critical conversation a few weeks ago, my wife Chandra said to me, and this is what I think propelled
part of our
conversation.
Oh, enough of Yoko.
Really, said to me, she said, "Are you afraid that you guys won't be friends after this conversation?" I'm like, "No, that's for me. That wasn't even part of the issue. The issue was the business stuff that was getting in the way of our friendship." And I said, that wouldn't even be part of it. And then I think your words about those things being so intertwined has at least given me more to think through and process. And I think I'm really excited for what can come out of this and what can be on the other side of this. And we have ideas. It's not like we haven't ideated how we can, what this might look like come fall or on the other side of this or whatever. But I'm really excited to see what that is, because it gives us now an opportunity to reinvent it and explore and do some things that I think we will be reinvigorated in. And when we first started the show and people were really, really invested in it and we were really invested in it, that's when things were really banging on all cylinders. And if the audience is really taking something from it, that's great. But if we're not also taking something from it, then
we can't afford to do it.
Right. Then we can't afford to do it anymore. Right. Physically, financially, emotionally, whatever it is.
Right.
So.
Here's the thing. People love new, right? So when you first do Adventures in Design and nobody's talking about design this way, it was like, whoa, what is this? But then time goes on and people learn how to get complacent and take you for granted. And so my career now is a very long haul. The excitement is over. Mm. He's the guy that does this.
Yeah.
And I can tell when I go out that a lot of people formerly listen to the show, but they're not currently listening to the show.
Yeah.
I don't let that bother me anymore at all, because I know what's going to happen is this. After I've paid my dues, after I've been the guy that's been around longer than anybody, the podcast will start to become an institution.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It'll become a very well-respected thing. And even though people don't listen to Howard Stern anymore, they really respect Howard Stern and what he's accomplished. And getting on the show or going back and revisiting it is like a classic. Like when David Letterman did the end of his run, not everybody was still watching Letterman.
Right.
But it's the institution of Letterman.
Right.
So I'm migrating toward the institution of the guy who's did the most episodes, the guy who talked to the most creative people, the guy that did the most things. I can't worry about being new all the time.
Sure.
But what I can do is constantly reinvent my message.
Mm-hmm.
And by taking breaks and by coming back and making new shows and breaking into a network, I have the ability to do that. You guys have lost that ability because you've been in the chasing the tail, chasing the dream. And it this is a really great message for so many people at home that hard work and hard work alone will not achieve your goals. Yeah. There has to be room for you as a person in there.
Sure.
Yeah. I think one thing that I think I had this moment literally on Tuesday of this week, so this is recent. But we a lot of the creatives we talk to, you get this message of, you know, it's just about grinding it out. It's just, you know, you want something and you just every day put in the work and you grind it out and eventually you just get that thing. And I think I've heard that message so many times because that's who, I mean, we're talking to people giving that message almost every week, that it got to this point for me that it felt like, like if I want this, my only choice is to just like dig in deeper and keep grinding it out every single week
to get more.
Right. And I think that I didn't have anybody giving me permission to say, like, it's okay to step back. It's okay to be calculated. It's okay to be smart about something. It's okay to take time to build something or to do it differently. And I don't think I was ever getting that permission from anybody. And so it was just, I need to like grind more.
Well, so I suffer from depression and anxiety, right? So this was diagnosed a few years ago, actually after we started the podcast, but I don't think they're connected. But it was diagnosed, and it was diagnosed after I had a huge kind of crash and a huge break. And Chandra and I were talking to the counselor, and she said that she was equating it to the pressure that I was feeling to being like on a being on a football team, and you're in overtime, and you're a lineman, and you just can barely even hold yourself up, and you have cheerleaders on the sideline cheering you on, saying, "Come on, give it just a little bit more. You can do it. You know, push harder." And you're the player saying, "I have given everything I have to this. I have nothing left to give." And if you don't feel like you're succeeding in that, that's where that failure, that defeat feels. And it's a little bit like that. If you get so worn out that you have nothing left to give, and what you're being told is you just need to give a little bit more and then it's going to be successful, you're like, well, then it will never be successful.
Here's the problem, though. All of the people that you talk to, they're grinding in a template. There's a template to being a successful illustrator, designer. You find a style, you find a following, it builds. Your style gets better because you're making money off of it. The better it gets, the more fans you get. The more fans you get, the more opportunities you get. You get more money. More money equals more freedom. You get better and better and better. You guys are grinding in an unknown template.
Right.
It's much easier to become Tom Whalen than it is to become a self-sustained podcaster.
Mark Brickey.
Thank you. Thank you.
You hear that, Tom?
You hear that, Tom? No, but you know what I mean? Like, think about how many Matt Taylors there are.
Right.
Think about how many Aaron Horkies there are. There's a lot of people following a very similar template. The podcast has been the scariest thing in my life because it's the first time in my life I've ever been in first place. Mm-hmm. First place loser, maybe. Who knows? We'll see. But when I was in
here's
a band...
Here's hoping, right?
Yeah. But when I was in a band, I could look at the template of other bands.
Right, exactly.
When I was a designer, I could look at the template of other designers. When I opened up my store, I could look at other stores. When I became a podcaster, I'm like, I can't look at Mark Maron and Adam Ooh. Carolla.
Yeah.
I can't look at it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Debbie Melman, that's not what I'm trying to accomplish.
Right.
99 Designs, I don't even know what that is. So that's not what I'm trying to accomplish. Like, I'm not a part of KCRW. I'm not a part of public access. Like, right. I'm a dude in a room that has a vision and a weird talent. Mm-hmm. How do I monetize that? How do I turn that into something? That's the difference in the message. And you can work so hard that you work against yourself. And that's what you guys have done.
Hmm.
There you have it.
Thanks.
Bunch of idiots.
I so much appreciate. I think, you know, we were gonna have this conversation, and this I think is the absolute best way to have framed it.
Well, I just want the audience at home to know that you guys have given so much of yourselves, and you've worked so hard. You want this so bad, and it. You just, that's not the only way that you get there.
Sure.
You know, and also I thought it would be valuable for the audience to understand why there's less and why you guys need more for less. Mm-hmm. Because you've overextended yourself. And you've basically, you know, to the designer right now, like these guys have been doing a logo contest for 4 years, still trying to win that gig.
Right.
That makes it sadder, right? When you frame it that way.
But I mean, like, literally, like, anybody who would judge you for this, they wouldn't. If anybody is naive enough to judge you for what you're doing, the pause and the coming back and doing less and maybe wanting more, they are a worthless person, because they wouldn't do this. You've done it for 4 years. You have given up everything for 4 years. You've made your wives and your lives understand, this is the thing I do. And they've all, under their breath, been like, but when are we going to see a return?
Right.
Like, it is hard to manage the expectations of your life partner when you give up so much of something and they don't see it move the needle at the end of the month.
Yeah.
Like, wives don't care about free trips to Oregon. And why should they?
Right, because you're not going.
And you wouldn't do the same. You know, like, it's a hard thing to be in love with somebody that's in love with something else that doesn't contribute back to the family.
Yeah.
Like, the women and kids in your life, they're in Masters of One too.
Yeah.
Right.
They feel the consequence of, dad's not available these times. Mm-hmm. And I think that being available more will bring more happiness, which will bring better content.
Yeah. I think it's a good place to leave it.
No.
All right, so what's our announcement?
The announcement is this. I do adventures in design as much as possible, but I can't be there all the time. And I know that sometimes I need to go away. I think that we work together, and when I'm away, you guys are available. Mm-hmm. And I think that there is a balance of taking you guys, lending you my audience, and giving people that community, giving them that support, but giving them different perspectives, giving them different voices, different looks at things. You know, I hit interviews from a more, I'm your peer, I understand what it's like to be you. You guys hit it from more of like a fan engagement type, oh, it was great that you did this, whereas I'm like, it was hard that we did this.
Yeah.
And I think that there is a space and a place for the AID network to really look like a network and to really showcase different voices, different creators. And I think that we are truly all stronger if we work together.
Hmm. Wow.
Yeah. Obviously we knew who you were, like, when we started, you know, 4 years ago or 4.5 years ago, whatever. And you can have a bit of a polarizing effect on people, which you are more than aware of. And
it's by design.
Yeah. And so I, you know, it's one of those things of, it's like the unknown. Like, I don't think we ever knew what to expect from you. And then we didn't meet until
Creative South
mm-hmm. 2 years ago. Mm-hmm.
2 years ago.
That's when we actually met. And then it was this moment of like, oh, shit, Mark is like,
he's actually nice. It sucks.
He's like really cool.
He's a good dude.
and then like the thing today, like, and then so fast forward all the way today, this wasn't something where like we didn't reach out to you to do this today. You asked to do it, and you're like already a busy guy. Like
I offered to do this.
You offered to do it because, and what's incredible about that is, you already have stuff to do. You already have to do...
To write a talk?
You're speaking tomorrow.
Oh, that's done.
You have another podcast.
Yeah, that's been long done.
That was 2 minutes ago.
You have another podcast you have to get done because you're talking to Lincoln. And the fact that you would say, hey, I'm already super busy, I want to take on more work for myself to talk with you guys. I cannot say enough how incredibly generous that is of you. And then to just make the statement you just made, yeah, I'm having a bit of a wow moment because that's just incredibly generous.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. The polarizing personality is called being entertaining.
Yeah.
I don't want to listen to a show where everything is always great and everything is always happy. I want to be able to hit record and be me.
Right.
If I'm in a bad mood, I want to be in a bad mood. If I'm in a good mood, I want to be in a good mood. And I want to say stuff to people like, did he really just say that?
Bro, I get that on so many levels.
And I want to be free to do that.
Yeah.
I don't want to be everybody's friend. Right. I want to be some people's best friend.
Sure.
And that's the mindset that I exist in. And I also think that the more time you spend with me, the more you realize the character or when I'm turned up to have fun versus the real guy. Like, I use the same voice to say things that I think is satire and a comment on society. Mm-hmm. And it's up to the person home to be like, that's him being funny.
Right.
You know, I learned that from David Letterman, and I'm a big consumer of the old guard that did this job. And that's been embraced into my personality. And I just think that we're in a moment of time when people are just so uptight.
Yep.
That I love that people listen to AID. They're my people. Mm-hmm. I don't ever meet anybody that listens to this show that I'm like, what a jerk off.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And if I played to the masses and if I played to the numbers, I would meet those people.
Sure. Sorry, the answer was yes, though, right? Yes.
Was there a question?
I feel like the answer is yes. Well, we would.
Yeah. That would be awesome. Yeah. I didn't realize that was. Off, I thought it was more of a statement, so I was like, yeah, that's. I'm gonna have to absorb that.
No, there is. I believe there's a way where I can act in a producer role for you guys.
Sure.
And give you guidance and give you sort of structure and sort of send you on your way. And I also believe there's a way where I can extend to you slots of time.
Yeah.
And we can program within those slots of time and that we can give the collective audience, because a lot of them are the same people. Right. I believe there's a way we can give them all more. Mm. But by each of us having more time off,
sure,
more time to adjust, and also to make sure that there still are moments when there's just nothing, because it's good to leave people alone and let them have their space.
Yeah, absolutely.
But as I do the AID network concept, it just can't be me on every show all the time. And I have learned that I enjoy, like Patrick said, the production, the behind the scenes, sort of the taking the life experience and putting it in a certain way. And I think a lot of times we double cover stuff.
Sure.
And sort of breaking things apart would be a smart move.
Yeah.
And I just feel like we're all kind of in the same world. There's a way to do it smarter.
Yeah.
I think that's awesome. And the more we interact, the more we get an opportunity. And it usually happens over in a morning in a hotel lobby is where I've found we've had our deepest conversations. Is the more I've realized how much I appreciate the place that you've been and the perspective you have on things. And I think, if the next step for Master of One is working alongside the AID network and working alongside Mark Bricky, if that's what our next step is to making a better community and creating a higher level of influence, that's my niche. That's where I want to be.
Well, look, man, we've got to train people to pay for content. And I've done a good job of being like, I don't give free advice. That's money. You want to hear the whole episode? That's money. Like, I've given more than enough free to people. I give an hour, most days for free. Mm-hmm. So when somebody's like, it's a bait and switch business model, I got to pay to hear the whole thing. I didn't ask you for anything for free. Why do you expect me to do my job for free? Right. So I think we need to train the audience. And I think that you guys, with your fandom and your intensity, I think there's a way where we can make paid episodes.
Sure.
And that we can build a system where it's like, this is what we give for free. So you get to know the guys and you find them engaging. If I go away, you guys cover for me, which gives you the ability to do different things and talk to different people. But I feel like the business model for Masters of One is selling content. You can't give enough to do the subscription model, but there is a way to make really high produce fun stuff that people want to listen to, even if they see is buying it for $3 as a way to donate back. I do believe that there's a business model in there.
Sure.
All right,
guys,
a lot to ponder.
Take a break, enjoy yourselves. I would literally suggest just saying, let's go home and let's just not even talk for a little bit. Like, just completely turn it off. And when you are away from each other, the most powerful thing in your phone is that little app called Notes. Just take notes, think about what it is that you want to do, how you see the future. And when you get back together, line those notes up and see where there's an overlap.
Sure.
When you pitch an idea, it's easy to sell you on an idea. But if you're just three islands alone and tell yourself and you write down, I think we should do more of this kind of stuff and less this type of stuff. If those things line up, then we know where our strengths are.
Yeah.
Sure.
Sounds great.
I've given you an opportunity. I've given you guys an option. I now be quiet and you can come to me when you're ready to cash that in or not. I respect it.
Sweet.
I don't need to get in the middle of your business, but I see a way where I can make your business better for you. Yeah. And in return, help my business in the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to spend my break at your house.
No.
You with that?
No. No. No, you will not.
I'm going to come out to California.
You can come out for an afternoon, but you will not be spending time.
Well, and I kind of feel like that cheapens it, but that's okay.
As we end up this very special episode of Masters of One,
oh, yeah.
I'd like to remind everybody, AID will still be there on the break, baby. I'm a good guy. Don't let the polarization fool you. Swing by. Still new episodes Monday through Friday. Join the circle of trust. No, seriously. Enjoy your break. Everybody, make sure that you thank the guys for the four-year run and just let them know I appreciate what you've done. Maybe share a moment where the podcast has helped you out on a long night grind or an overnight drive or meeting a deadline, and just let them know you will be there when they come back. I know you will. You don't just go away because somebody needs to take a break. And the show that's going to come back, I feel, will be the best show that you guys have ever done.
Absolutely. I agree.
Aside from this one, because of obvious talent in the room.
Absolutely.
Good day and good design team, Masters of One.
So we know that was a lot to take in, and it was quite a conversation. Lots of things to think about, lots to talk about, and
I'm going to be honest, I don't even remember half that conversation because it happened at least 3 weeks ago.
Right.
So that shows how much Patrick's attention has gone to it. huge thank you to our friend Mark for doing that. He is such a rad dude. He's super cool. We don't know what our next step is, but we do know that we're going to go on a bit of a vacation. We're going to take Mark's advice. We're going to go and we're going to reset and recharge. There's still stuff coming out. You still have hot seats that are coming out, so tune in for those. But stay tuned to what's coming up next, because we do have some ideas, lots to think about, lots to talk about. Any final thoughts, Patrick or Luke?
We should go to Disney while we're doing our vacation. I'm assuming that we're going to just globetrot.
I bought a beach ball. I don't know what I'm going to do with it yet, but I bought one.
You don't even have a bathing suit.
Well, I mean, steps, baby steps.
For me, I would just say make sure that you still stay tuned into Discord, still stay tuned into social channels, and also Timed Edition. I know that I'll still be posting stuff there, and all of us are still going to be doing our normal. I'm still going to be watching a ton of movies. I think I just passed 100 for the year. Luke's going to still be playing video games and board games four nights a week, and Andrew, you've been sketching like crazy on Procreate, so you'll still get your fix from us. Just follow our social channels, and then we'll return from vacation eventually when I get sunburned.
With some cool, fun new things.
Yeah. That's right.
And Luke, anything final? Final stamp?
Thanks for sticking with us. It's been 4 years or more than that, but thanks for being here. Don't go away, please.
I believe we said this.
Killing Luke's FOMO right now.
Going right? Back to going back 325 episodes, you'll hear the same thing from us on our send-off. But for the last time for a little while, I'm Andrew.
I'm Patrick.
And I'm Luke.
Peace out.
Bye.
Hold on to your butts.